Let's read together Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 18. Here we have a description of the second beast of the chapter, the beast that comes up out of the earth or land. Revelation chapter 13, beginning now at verse 11. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Let's begin our study of this second half of Revelation chapter 13 with some background notes. In the first half of this chapter, we had the description of a beast coming up out of the sea. We mentioned that the sea most likely represents the sea of Gentile nations. And this first beast of the chapter represents an end-time political ruler who will head up the revived Roman Empire of the last days. The reason we call it the revived Roman Empire is because in the book of Daniel, we have the description of a similar beast in chapter 7 of this prophetic book. There are four beasts presented in Daniel chapter 7, and when these four beasts are compared with the four parts of the image in Daniel chapter 2, it becomes quite clear that the fourth beast represents Rome. It is the fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7 that has a similar description to the beast out of the sea here in Revelation chapter 13. And in Daniel chapter 7, the fourth beast of Rome with its 10 horns continues right on until the time of the end, because it is the Lord himself who conquers this beast when he sets up his kingdom on this earth. I'm reading Daniel chapter 7 and verse 23. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. And now you move down in Daniel chapter 7 to verses 26 and 27. You're moving right down here to the time of the end. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be gathered to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. All his dominion shall serve him and obey him. Daniel chapter 7, verses 23 and 26 and 27. So we refer to the end time stage of this fourth beast of Daniel chapter 7, which is the first beast of Revelation chapter 13, as the revived Roman Empire. And the little horn that came up among the 10 horns in Daniel chapter 7 is the end-time leader of the revived Roman Empire. He is the one who has the mortal wound and is healed. Revelation chapter 13, verse 3, "And I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast." And verse 12, "The first beast whose deadly wound was healed." This is the infamous leader who, according to Daniel 9:27, makes a 7-year covenant of peace with the Jewish people. But in the middle of the 7 years, he will break the treaty and demand worship of himself. These last 3.5 years of the 7 years are the 42 months of Revelation chapter 13, verse 5, which we call the Great Tribulation. This notorious ruler of the end times will be motivated and inspired by Satan and kill many believers at that time, as we see here in Revelation chapter 13. But although this first beast will be worshipped as a god, he is only a man and has the number of man intensified, that is 666. Beginning now in verse 11, we have the description of a second beast here in Revelation chapter 13. The beast out of the earth or land. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for the second half of Revelation chapter 13. Doctrinal point number one, the beast out of the earth is the false prophet. The beast out of the earth is the false prophet. We see that the two beasts of Revelation chapter 13 are very closely related in their evil ways. The first beast gives authority to the second beast, and the second beast directs worship to the first beast. In fact, along with the dragon, together they form an evil trinity. This second beast of Revelation chapter 13 is also known as the false prophet from other passages in Revelation where the first beast is seen. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, and Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Let's read those scriptures. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Revelation 19, verse 20. And then Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Notice from verse 13 of Revelation chapter 13 that this second beast is able to perform great signs, including bringing fire down out of heaven to this earth. This display of supernatural power, of course, is not from God. This is evil supernatural power. But many people at that time are deceived because they are supernatural signs. We see in verse 14, that this false prophet directs his followers to make an image to the first beast, and then he is able to give lifelike characteristics to this image, even causing the image to speak. Notice that in verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. Verse 15, he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. No doubt, these signs and wonders are done through satanic power. One of the reasons why this second beast of Revelation chapter 13 is called the false prophet is because he directs worship to the first beast. Most likely, this image of the first beast will be set up in the temple area and is certainly an essential part of the coming abomination of desolation, standing in the holy place, predicted by Daniel the prophet and referred to by our Lord in his Olivet Discourse about the future in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. We see in verse 15 that anyone who does not worship the lifelike image of the beast is to be put to death. And everyone has to receive the mark of the beast on their right hand or on their forehead. And if you don't have the mark, you cannot buy or sell. Now, exactly what the mark and name of the beast will be and how it will be checked, we don't know for sure. But maybe it'll be some kind of chip implanted under the skin and scanned periodically to check your credit rating. The mark and name of the beast is related to the number 666, which is the number or symbol of the first beast, as we discussed in our last talk. The second beast of Revelation chapter 13, out of this earth, enforces submission and directs worship to the first beast of Revelation chapter 13. The beast out of the earth is the false prophet. Doctrinal point number two. The beast out of the earth may be the Antichrist. The beast out of the earth may be the Antichrist. Question, is the first or second beast of Revelation chapter 13 the Antichrist? Answer, both of the beasts are Antichrist small a, but either one could be the Antichrist capital A. The biggest point in favor of the first beast being the Antichrist capital A is the fact that he receives worship directed to him by the false prophet. The biggest point in favor of the second beast being the Antichrist capital A is the fact that he poses as a lamb. Verse 11, and I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Furthermore, the second beast is a religious figure, whereas the first beast is a political figure. It's more likely that Jews will be deceived into receiving a religious figure as the Antichrist, capital A, than a political figure. And the phrase out of the earth may be translated out of the land. And if so, it may represent Israel. And thus the second beast or false prophet may be Jewish, which would certainly be more appropriate for the Antichrist, capital A. Most commentators agree that the man of sin passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 refers to the Antichrist, capital A, but some say this man of lawlessness in 2 Thessalonians 2 is the first beast of Revelation 13, and some say this man of lawlessness of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is the second beast of Revelation chapter 13. So we can't be sure. But the beast out of the earth may be the Antichrist. Now, what about practical application from the second half of Revelation chapter 13? Don't be deceived by signs and wonders. Don't be deceived by signs and wonders. Verse 14 says that those who dwell on the earth will be deceived by the signs performed by the false prophet. Specifically, this will be during the time of the tribulation of the future. But even now, it is possible to be deceived by signs and wonders. Even believers can be deceived by signs and wonders, which are not of God. Listen to what the Lord said about such deceivers on the day of judgment in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Now, this does not mean that all signs and wonders are counterfeit and performed only by deceivers, but many are. So don't be deceived by signs and wonders.